I see Bob has a glass of water here for me, so I can go quite a while. But I won't do that. Teen Challenge has been coming up to the Bedford County facility almost 10 years. We've had the chapel up and running for 10 years, and that's a miracle and a blessing, and we praise God for that and for all the people that helped to build that chapel and to keep it going. But Teen Challenge started coming up, I think. The treatment specialist at the time was Peggy Leader, who is the daughter of Gary Leader, down at Leader's Farm Equipment, was instrumental in helping to get us set up to get Teen Challenge, a prison team, coming up to Bedford County facility, the jail, almost 10 years. And they've been coming up second Saturday night of each month, and they share their testimony. And the reason they have a testimony is there's all kinds of programs out there for drug and alcohol. Now, if it wasn't for drugs and alcohol, the Bedford County Jail wouldn't be half full. It wouldn't even be, there might only be about 20 to 25% of the people there if it was not for drugs and alcohol. Most of them are there because of burglary, addictions of one type or another, different things that they've done to support the drug habit. Teen Challenge, if I remember correctly, doesn't deal too much with the symptom of drugs and alcohol. They deal with the root cause, which is the inner person. Now, they deal with drugs and alcohol. I've come to realize that there's more addictions than drugs and alcohol. And I'll just say this briefly. Many of you might know Bill Bear, who's in the timber business like me. And a year or so ago, I saw him at the fuel stop, and I said, "Bill, why do we keep doing this, cutting timber?" He said, "Because, Merle, we are addicted. It's worse than cocaine. We can't quit." Do you ever have anything you did, Dabner, that you just don't like to quit? There's nothing wrong with it, but probably. But think about it. We could be addicted to things that is not harmful, but yet maybe we could be addicted to where it keeps us from doing more and more for our Lord and Savior. And the reason that Teen Challenge is so successful, Jesus is the answer to all the drug and alcohol problems that we have, and He's the answer for our addicted to cutting timber or farming or whatever it might be. He's the answer to that. I have the privilege of going up to Twin Lakes, which is a drug and alcohol program, 30 days, 28 days. We have the privilege of going up there the third Sunday night of each month. Somebody goes in every Sunday night and shares Jesus with those people also. See, there's no government funding that goes into the program for Teen Challenge. It all comes from donations and people supporting them with your prayers and with your giving. And so we just, we're happy to have Teen Challenge with us this morning. We've come to get more involved down there over the years. It started out, David Wilkerson, a young preacher from Pennsylvania, went to New York City. You can read about the story of the starting of Teen Challenge and the cross and the switchblade. Guess which one is most powerful? The cross of Jesus Christ. More powerful than anything else there is. Able to deliver us and make us free. Bob asked if I would have a prayer before we introduce them. And so we'll ask Teen Challenge to get ready, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, how we thank You and praise You that You are the one who delivers us from whatever we need delivered from when we come to You and call out to You, God. And we thank You and praise You for that, God. And as Brother Bob said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Thank You and praise You for making us new, making us alive, and giving us a hope that endures forever. Lord, we just think of Your promises in Your Word, and we talked about fear in the Sunday school class, and God, Your Word says that in 2 Peter 1:7, You didn't give us that spirit of fear, but You gave us power, spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, God. We thank You that when Your Holy Spirit is within us, we don't fear, but we love and we thank you and praise you for that. Lord, I just pray for the Teen Challenge guys as they share, as they come and share their testimonies and their skits and whatever they do. May it bring honor and praise and glory to you, and may Jesus be uplifted in all things. For we ask it in his name and thank you and praise you. And amen. Teen Challenge, you're on.
Hi, good morning. My name is Steve. I'm 25. I'm from Schuylkill County, Pennsylvania. I just want to thank you guys for letting us come here and be a part of your church for this morning and let us tell about Teen Challenge and what Jesus is doing in our lives. Teen Challenge is a 14-month faith-based drug and alcohol program. It is either voluntary or you can come here court mandated. It means, you get in trouble, and instead of doing jail time, they will send you to Teen Challenge and say you need to do this to complete your whatever you got in trouble for. Like Merle said, it's for drugs and alcohol, but, really any life-controlling substances or whatever's going on in your life, Teen Challenge will take care of, because it's the power of Jesus Christ that, sets people free from their addictions. He searches your heart and gets to the root problems of what's going on in your life. There's Teen Challenges all over the United States. Most of them are 12-month in one house, but what we go through, there's different induction centers where you spend 4 months, and then you go to the mountain, God's Mountain, we call it. It's in Rarysburg, Pennsylvania. Where 200 guys are in one spot, and we do 10 months there. People like to call it a discipleship program. We don't like a rehab. We don't like to say it's a drug and alcohol rehab, because really you go through pretty much like a Bible college up there. You go through different types of courses. You learn about Jesus every day. We have 11 chapel services a week. We're in the chapel constantly, constantly fed the Word of God. And, that's what we need. Everyone needs it. Everyone needs to be fed the Word of God daily, because you can slip away from it, no matter who you are. You need to have Jesus in your life daily. You need to constantly be thinking about Him. Just a little bit about myself. I have two children. I was addicted to drugs for about 10 years. Didn't really want nothing to do with God. I've been in the program since last April. And one thing I can say is the joy that I have, the peace that I have now with where I was before and where I am now. I don't get to see my children. I probably won't see them until I get out of the program, which will be in October. But I'm okay with that, because I know and I trust that God will bring me back to my children and, bring us back together. There's a difference between now and before. Before I was saved, I leaned on drugs. I leaned on different things of the world to get me through the day, to get me through life struggles, the anxieties, whatever it may be. But now I have Jesus Christ that I can lean on by prayer, looking in His Word, seeing what He has to say about things, rather than going to man and asking them what they say about it. I can ask God. I can pray to Him. He speaks to me through people and His Word. I have Jesus now to lean on. I no longer have to worry about what the world has to hit me with. Romans 8:31, like I said, if God is for you, who can be against you? That's a rhetorical question, because no one can be against you. If you have Jesus in your life and, you're a child of God, no one can be against you. You don't have to fear anyone, but you need to fear God, because He is the ultimate judge of your life. That's all I have to say about the program. It's a very, very good program. Like I said, I never wanted to get help before. And I am court mandated to the program. I wasn't initially, but as the months went on, court things went on, and now I am. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. I wasn't planning on leaving anyway. I know I needed the help. I have a great guys. We're the prison team. There's about 20 of us. There's only 7 of us here today, but we rotate. We all go out to different prisons. Bedford isn't the only prison we go to. We go to about 5 other prisons. And we just minister to them. You know, we can relate to them. Most of us have been in prison before. I haven't, but it's okay because my testimony is, they can relate to my testimony. I was in jail spiritually and with the drugs. I couldn't get out. But Jesus Christ got me out of that prison, that jail, those strongholds. These are a great group of guys I have with me here. You know, we all go through the same thing. We're all in this together. So I'm going to bring up Mike.
Morning, folks. How are you today? A little nervous, sorry. My name is Mike. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm 31 years old. I'm from Ruffsdale, PA, about an hour west of here towards Pittsburgh. Father of 2 children that I love to death. I grew up in a normal family. My mother and father got divorced when I was 5. My grandparents raised me. So I was back and forth between my mom and my father's on a farm and in the city. So it was like two different kind of cultures, you know. But basically I was with my mother the whole time in the city. During my young years, I was involved in a lot of sports. Played a lot of baseball, a lot of soccer, played some football. Until I got into high school, I started experimenting with drugs, cocaine, all of them. Graduated high school, had my son, started getting into opiates. I became a full heroin addict for 13 years. Anything that I could stick in the needle, I stuck it in my arm, my life. Family, friends, money, cars, house. You know, I gave it all up for the heroin. During that time, I had another child in 2008, my daughter. Started working. You know, I was a functioning drug addict. But I couldn't stop getting high. All of my money was just put into that thing. So, this progressed until 2012, I ended up in jail. There, I gave myself to the Lord. You know, I just went to Bible study, went to church every Sunday faithfully in jail. I got out, first day I got out, I went straight to church. You know, I stayed with the Lord for a while. But I don't know if I was ready and fully committed. At the 6 months after that, I ended up having a relapse, hooked up with a bunch of friends, ended up back into the drug scene again. I was in and out of jail constantly, 6 months at a time, in and out of rehabs, secular rehabs, you know, 30 days at a time. But it didn't work for me, you know. I just kept running back to it. So, July 7th, 2015, last year, I got picked up on a warrant, went in front of the judge, and he offered me Teen Challenge. I knew of Teen Challenge, I knew of God, but didn't have a relationship with him. July 10th, I entered Pittsburgh induction. I got there, I met some great people, I did a lot of classes, you know, got into a lot of Bible, got into a lot of Jesus. And at first, I didn't know what to. Well, I was overwhelmed. I didn't know. The feeling was, it was overwhelming. I've been in the program for 9 months now. Over these 9 months, I've grew a great relationship with the Lord. I've met some awesome brothers, you know. Fully devoted to God, like, it's I see it everywhere. I've been blessed with so much. I have a great relationship with my families now. I have a great relationship with my children. Everything has been restored, you know, by the grace of God. You know, Matthew 19:26, with God all things are possible, and I put my trust in Him. I got another 4 months to go. I started applying for colleges. I'm going to be an addiction counselor. I'm going to get my associates at first. Go back to Pittsburgh, do my ETP. And God has opened so many doors. And I'm just going to put my trust in Him. Because this is His will, and I'm going to walk with Him. And I'm going to introduce a skit, and that's all I have for you today. I'm sorry. The skit that we're going to do, they call it the trash bag. So with that, thank you. You guys have a great day.
What's up, Steve?
Oh, hey, Jesus.
How you doing?
Oh,
I'm all right. I'm good, you know.
I haven't talked to you in a while.
I know. I'm sorry. I just had, you know, things going on. I was planning on it.
What do you got behind your back?
Looks like
you got some trash behind your back. Is that trash?
No, that's not trash. Some things I got, stuff, you know.
Are you throwing trash back here on the weekend?
No. I mean, maybe a little bit, yeah.
Can I take that from you? You allow me to take that from you?
Yeah.
Again. I'll take that burden off you, bro.
Oh, and it feel a lot better?
Yeah, it does.
Absolutely,
no problem.
Man, it feels good to have it often, but I don't know.
Steve, what are you doing?
I mean, you can have everything else. There's just one thing I still need. I still need to hold on to it. I have a lot of memories to it. Everything else you can have, I thank you for that. But
you gotta get it all over me, though. So.
But it's gonna weigh you down.
Need this, though. Just
don't have this. All you need is me.
Give that over to me.
I don't know.
Take that.
Every time you go through this, you have to hold on to that last little piece and bring it down. I'm sorry, Jesus. Can you forgive me?
I already have, but
can you forgive yourself?
Good morning, everybody. Well, the trash skit, it's a very short one, probably the shortest that we have, but it's just, I think we can all say that we've done that, where we've held on to that one little thing. We always have that one thing that we can't really get rid of, and every time it brings us down, and we find ourselves flat on our face crying out to Jesus. So with that, my name is Jeremy. I'm 24 years old, from Virginia Beach, Virginia. And, I grew up in a normal household. I had loving parents. I have an older brother. But my parents weren't necessarily, they got married for the sake of just because they had me, and it didn't work out well. My parents got divorced when I was probably about 6 years old, 7 years old, and I turned my back away from God on that. I had a lot of bitterness in my heart, and I was looking for comfort. I couldn't find no comfort in my home. My home was a wreck, and so I sought comfort from the streets and the world and everything the world had to offer, the glamours, things that offer promises are pleasing and that will satisfy you, music, women, drugs. I gave myself to all, I dedicated my life to probably the evilest of things, and throughout my life I felt pretty hard. I had a lot of good times, but ultimately the glamour fell away and I was left with depression, anxiety, a lot of hatred for myself as much as well as others. And I ended up getting in with the wrong crowd. I fell in love with just destroying things and stealing, and which brought me, along with the drugs, 5 overdoses and 2 jail terms. After my second jail term, I kind of just cried out to God and asked God, like, it was almost like I yelled at the God, like, why am I so empty? You know, I thought I had everything. I thought I was living life, but you know, I was just left empty and broken. I cried out to God, and you know, my dad's a godly man, so he kind of helped me through it and kind of told me what I needed to do. And I gave myself over to the Lord while I was in jail. And I did 1.5 years before I was able to come to the program. But in that time, I really developed a strong relationship with the Lord. And it was just an amazing time. And since being in the program, it's been a ride, I'll tell you that. It's been great some days and horrible some other days. It's really just been a tough time, you know, having God work on me from the inside. It's definitely not what I thought it would be. It's not easy like I thought it would be, but it's definitely the best decision I've ever made. You know, you've heard everybody else say it. I mean, just a really good group of guys. I'm truly blessed, you know, and I get to go to prisons and jails and talk to other guys that are in the same situation that I was in, that are just as broken, that don't know the Lord, and get to share our experiences with them. And it's, you know, we get to share with you guys. This is the first Mennonite church I've ever been to, and you know, it's a real treat to be here. You know, I've really enjoyed it, and I just thank you all for taking the time to listen to us. Oh, by the way, my relationships with my parents have been reconciled. I don't even want to say reconciled, because I really never had a parent relationship with my parents. I kind of abandoned them as a kid, but you know, I have an amazing relationship with my parents. I'm actually able to have relationships now instead of just kind of living for myself. So it's a blessing, and God's continuing to open doors and just never ceases to amaze me. So I just thank you guys, and I say y'all have a blessed day, and I'm going to introduce my brother John here to come and give his testimony. Thank you guys.
Good morning. My name is John King. I'm 49 years old, a little older than some of the guys here, but here to prove that addiction does not go away with age. I found that out in my life. A little bit of my story. I grew up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Grew up on a farm. I grew up, well, I was born Amish, and then my parents, well, they went to New Order Amish and then to Summerview Amish. So, anyway, I grew up Christian, very conservative Christian. And I accepted Christ and was baptized when I was 15. And thought I was, you know, doing everything right. I'm in here for alcohol. I actually didn't start drinking until I was 21. I remember when I was like running around, I seen these people getting drunk. I was like, that's never going to be me. But when I was 21, I started hanging out with the wrong crowd and started drinking. I still remember my first drink. It was like, man, this is what I was looking for. Just something that I liked and went with it. I always had jobs and, you know, had money, and I started getting in trouble with the law. So that's where I started getting DUIs. Back in 98, I was looking at my 4th DUI. I had jail time. And I have to say, by the grace of God, okay, I'm maybe a little different than some of these guys, or accepted Christ when I was younger. And I was like a wild child to God. God never gave up on me. He always let me know he was there. But anyway, in 98, I rededicated my life. I was running from God for quite a while, and God, through the Spirit of God, one Sunday morning, he told me to go to this church close by that I never went to before, and I never was going to go there, but I went there. It was God's time to go to church in Norwalk. It's a Pentecostal church. And I went out there, and I felt the presence of God, and I ended up rededicating my life to God, and they really helped me out. I ended up getting sentenced out of Paul, and I thought maybe I'll go to state prison, but I ended up getting, I had to go to rehab and made a deal with the justice week. I got 6 to 24 months in county prison. But, and then I started framing, and some of the guys I worked with knew I had alcohol problems, and some guys were saying, well, you can drink vodka, and nobody can smell it on you, and it'll be fine. And anyway, I started drinking vodka, and that, I did that for quite a few years. And ended up in 2004, I was in a house fire and messed up my back, and I ended up in the hospital. And I took some pain pills, and they didn't agree with me, and I ended up using alcohol for my pain. And after my back was healed up, I found out I couldn't quit. I said, wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and drink a glass of vodka. But anyway, I ended up getting fired from that job, went to rehab, getting fired from jobs and getting, going to rehab. That was kind of my life this last while. In 2014, I was working at Remy Social Forum, but working for a tango. I was there for like almost 4 years. I'd gone to rehab before that, and I thought, well, okay, well, I can, my problem, I can drink beer, you know, beer will be all right. But I started drinking way too much of that, and in 2014, I was having a rough year, like sometimes we do. Seemed like everything was going wrong. The motor blew up in my truck, and the last day of hunting season, I lost $2. $2 that got shot behind my house, and I ended up going to the hospital in February. I had a nervous breakdown. I went to the hospital and got out, and you know, my family was like, yeah, you need help. I was like, no, I didn't want help. And a couple of weeks later, the same thing happened. And I, to make a long story short, but I ended up getting fired from that job. And I went to rehab in April 2014. And I thought, hey, you know, I went to a 30-day program and got out and thought I was pretty strong, I'm, you know, feeling fine. I was having some problems finding jobs, and I had a weak moment, and just when I started drinking again. And my family wanted to get me in teen challenge for a long time, and I was like, I don't need 14 months, that's not for me. But I finally gave in to it. I said, I'm ready. And God was like, for some reason, he wants me here. I don't know why he wants me here, but I feel that, you know, if I can quit drinking with my life, I can surely help somebody quit drinking sometime. And I feel like that's why I'm here. But anyway, it's been 8 months now since none of I drink. And I'm feeling stronger every day. And by the grace of God and with the Holy Spirit helping me out, usually I'd go through dry spells not drinking. I wouldn't feel right. I wouldn't feel normal. It's like there's a hole in my heart. But it's getting filled. God's filling it, and I'm starting to feel whole. And praise God, I'm here. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Let's give a hand for Jesus for the work he's been doing. Thank you for sharing, guys. Powerful testimonies. I can relate with these guys with their testimony because I've been to the rehabs. I was addicted to painkillers, and I was addicted to sin. I was constantly doing wrong things and constantly being a troublemaker and breaking the law. I've been in jail a couple times, but the Lord has turned me around from that through this vessel called Team Challenge. Teen Challenge is not like a regular rehab, because Teen Challenge actually points you to the cure, and the cure is Jesus Christ. Rehabs just spin you around in circles just to get you through a month or 30 days and then send you back out with no lasting effect, with no lasting change, because they don't go to the issue. The issue with us is not drugs or alcohol. The issue with us, or the issue that was with us, was we were lost, but now we're found, and we have the shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, guiding us through our life. And that's why you see us right here. You know, God has brought us in a short time, just a year, from being out on the streets, homeless, to now here we are, going off and evangelizing at prisons, doing church services, and this is all by the grace of God and to His glory and to His honor. See, we are all just examples and trophies of His grace. And it's only by the grace of God that we stand before you guys today with a message to tell, with a testimony to tell of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Once we surrendered and submitted all to Him, He's been doing a miraculous work in our lives. And my life, I can testify to that. I'm Colton. I'm from North Carolina. I'm 22 years old. I've been in the program since January. I graduate next month. And the Lord's just been opening up a lot of doors for me, you know, and I just want to follow His leading, follow where He wants me to go. And I believe that He will guide me. I just want Him to be my shepherd and to be my path. And right now, I want to open up to the book of John, chapter 11. If you guys want to follow along, John chapter 11. This is, of course, about Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, who died because of a sickness. But Jesus had a different outcome for Lazarus, just like He had a different outcome for us. See, we were all sick, and we were all dead in our sin. We were all lost. Just like how I can relate with Lazarus here in John chapter 11. I'm going to start with verse 4. When he heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." I'm going to start right there for a second. And that's what I can relate to. See, the sickness I had was the sickness of sin. And it led me to death. But it has not ended in death, because Jesus stepped in and pulled me out of this death state that I was in of my sin and set me on solid ground to where I'm headed and walking in life. Let's jump to verse 32. Verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell at His feet and said, "Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid Him?" He asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how He loved Him." But some of them said, "Could not He who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," He said. See, this is where the story's about to change. This is where a positive outcome, an actual change from death to life, is about to occur. See, these people that were mourning for the loss of their friend Lazarus, his family that was mourning for him, did nothing to change his state. All they did was weep and mourn about what could have happened. He could be alive now, but he's not anymore, and there's nothing we can do about it, so we're just going to cry and weep about it. But that's all they can do. That's all anybody can do. But who can change the state of a person who's dead, of a person who's lost in sin, of a person who's in addiction and in bondage, is Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus wants to do. See, you have people who want to change, but they don't have the ability to. The only one who's been given that authority is Jesus Christ. And let's see what Jesus does when he steps on the scene. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." See, not only were his friends and family mourning and weeping and crying, but now they're trying to thwart Jesus from entering into the situation. They're saying, "Jesus, Lazarus is too far gone right now. He's no longer in the state to where you can do something. Now, he's already dead, Jesus. So let's take you, let's go somewhere else where you can heal some people who ain't dead yet, where there's a, you know, where you can actually affect a situation." That's what the book says. They said, "By this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." They're questioning what Jesus is going to do and how he is going to do it. But Jesus looks past what these people are saying. Jesus looks past the unbelief of these people, and he is going straight to the dead man, Lazarus. He is going straight, and he is going to breathe life into that man, because nobody else can do it but Jesus Christ. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." See, Lazarus did not move until Jesus said, "You can move." Lazarus did not come out of that tomb until Jesus allowed him to do that, until Jesus spoke life into him, until Jesus stretched his hand to him and touched him. That's when Lazarus came to life, and that's when I, standing here before you today, came to life. That's when I no longer am in bondage to sin, and no longer am dead to my transgressions and to my sin, but now I am alive in Christ. And I know that is the only thing that is going to sustain me whenever I get out of this program, is Jesus Christ and my faith, which he has implanted in me and which has been cultivated by Teen Challenge. It is a vessel that's used by God to do his work and for ultimately his glory and his honor, because it's all for the Lord. Jesus said to them to take off the grave clothes and let him go. See, Jesus told these people, you know, to help him out, take off the strips of linen that he's been sitting dead in all this time in. You know, I'm sure they're nasty. I'm sure they're not desirable. It's not a desirable job to do that. But somebody had to do that for Lazarus. Okay? Somebody had to do that for me. Those people happen to be Teen Challenge. Those people happen to be the staff and the counselors there, and it just takes time. It takes time to help a brother who has just came out of a mess, an addiction, came off the streets, you know, actively in crime and criminal behavior. It takes time to get that brother headed in the right direction. And Jesus Christ does the work. Jesus Christ gives birth to the man. But also, Jesus has got people here to help them when they start their walk, start walking towards Jesus, and start following him. Because we all need help. And that's what Teen Challenge has been doing for us. You know, it's a very good ministry. I'm very thankful for Teen Challenge because they showed me the right way. They pointed me to the truth. Whenever I had a problem, they pointed me to who had to answer. And that's God. And I just thank you for allowing us to come here, and I hope that we've been a blessing to you guys. I really do. It really blesses us to be able to get out and do this. You know, I do see myself going into the ministry, You know, and I believe God's called me to do that. So I just thank you for the opportunity you give us. And I just would like to pray over you guys, and then we'll turn the service over to Brother Bob, whoever. And but if y'all would just bow your heads with me. Dear Lord, thank you for this time and opportunity that we can come together in this house under this roof in acknowledgement of what you've been doing for us, God. And we just thank you and we glorify you and honor you, God. We thank you for your resurrection work, God, that you breathe life into us, God. I'm so thankful for your word, God, that you give us, God. I'm thankful for the ability to come here and worship you, God, that we are not under persecution, God. I pray that you bless this church and the congregation here, God. I pray that you continue to keep this door open for us to come whenever the opportunity is available, God. I just pray that you will bless each and every one of the members here, and that you'll be glorified and your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.